Hello, I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loves spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. We continue to glorify and honor God, help people come to know Jesus, and comfort God's people. This month of June, we are observing 45 years of the Christian Worship Hour. We are grateful for your love and support throughout these years. I'm standing in the recording studio beside the first and only pulpit that Dad preached from week after week on television. At the onset of having our own recording studio, our former production crew of six were all so dedicated to offering TV church services airing around the world. Our current crew produces this hosted segment you see each week. Our team is thrilled to continue broadcasting Dad's timeless messages. Today, we utilize hundreds of sermons recorded over the years for our programs. Our expanded website at cwh.org has numerous ways to minister to you. You can also visit us on our Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and many podcast platforms. We hope you will be uplifted by today's message. You can have a vision of God. God bless your week.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just so glad we could come back again this week. The Lord's tarrying and waiting for us. And so while he waits, we'll gather together to worship. And we'll gather from all over the earth, all over the world, and we'll gather at the foot of Jesus. And someday we're going to be there and see him by ourselves. With our own eyes, we're going to see him and see each other. And won't that be wonderful to meet all of each other, all of you folks that we've been worshiping together now, some of you for over 30 years, 38 years, I guess. And we'll all be together and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ and getting to know each other and see each other. I just am so excited about heaven. And now today we're going to have a sermon. I'm going to preach about a vision from God. And it's about Isaiah. And he talks about this wonderful vision he has. And so I hope that you maybe can call a friend and say, we're going to have a sermon on Isaiah today. And let's see what he's got to say. Give him a ring. We're looking at Psalm 113 today, where the psalmist writes, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens." So, dear Lord, you know from our hearts that we're gathering here today to worship you, to worship no man but you, just the wonderful God. And we just know that you love us, and we love you, and we watch over us. And someday we're going to see you face to face. We see you now through a glass darkly, but we're going to see you face to face. And so just thank you that you made that possible for us to be taken, paid for our sins, so we could come to be with you. So bless us in this service, and may we honor your name. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. And Jan's going to sing today. I know you're going to enjoy this. O God, our help in ages past, and God bless you, Jan.
Storm be blessed, and our eternal home.
Thank you, Jan. And isn't that true? Oh, God, our help in ages past. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything changes, doesn't it? Fashions change, laws change, people change, our countenance changes, our hair changes, dear Lord. But God never changes. He's always the same. And that's why we can be so happy and we can have such assurance, because we know He's always there. And when He talks about His Bible, the word of God, the Bible, He says, heaven and earth will pass away. My word will not pass away. And long after this earth is gone and dissolved in fire, like Peter says, and the stars are no more and they're gone, swept from the sky, and time is no more and we're in eternity, the word of God is the same, never changes, never goes back. And that's why we can be so happy. We have a sure foundation. Well, we're just glad you could be with us today. And first of all, I want to thank you for the letters. We get so many nice letters and we read every one. And if you have questions, we try to answer them. And so I would just thank you for writing to us. And then we like to share some of them. And we get letters who like to hear the letters and where people live and what they're thinking about and what they're asking and what they're going through and some of the advice that they give. And so we share that. And I hope that you will write to us. We just really need to hear from you. And you can send a gift, and you can send your love, and you can send anything else you want. Or if you want to just send a gift, you can do that. People do that. So we'll give you the name and address in just a few minutes. But first of all, let's look at the letters. The first one comes from good old South Dakota, Howard, South Dakota. And they write, thank you for the encouraging comments you share with us Sunday morning. Your words and experience help to guide us in our daily lives. God's word is always just what we need, no matter where it is read from. All drives us along the road of life wherever we go, no matter what period of life we're experiencing. I'll soon be in my 90s. What fun. And so, yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm 95, and I'm sure having a lot of fun. But really, I am happy, and I've just never been any happier. I guess I was the happiest when Beulah was home and the children were there. That was my best days. But I'm happy now, and I'm rejoicing and have so many good friends in the church and in the Christian Worship Hour and other folks that are our friends. And God just, and you know, we grow stronger on the inner side. The outer side starts to fade away and gets decrepit, but the inner man gets stronger. And that's all that counts. That's eternal. Well, here's a letter. Let's see. Cheyenne, Wyoming. Because of illness, we have not been able to attend our church for service in months. We're so thankful and blessed that we have been able to worship with Christian Worship Hour. Thank God for your ministry. Keep preaching the word of God. Blesses so many of us. God bless your faithfulness. And so these here are folks that can't get out. And we do hear from a lot of people that they're not able to travel and they can't get out and they don't have transportation or they're not able to go out. And so they can have the worship service in their home. And we think about you and pray for you all the time. As a matter of fact, every service we have, we pray for the shut-ins. We pray for the young people to find their way, and we're praying for the older people. And some are not old, and they have some accident or something, and they're shut-ins. And so we pray for them. That's part of the ministry of the Christian Worship Hour, and we delight in it. And you know what God told Isaiah? He said, comfort ye my people. And so whenever God's people are having troubles, or maybe hard times, Christian Worship Hour brings the word of God to comfort and help. And we're delighted to do that. And we just love all of you. Let's see, Pataskala, Ohio. I know I didn't say it right. Don't need to write unless you want to send a gift. That's okay. But it's in Ohio. And this is from a lady who writes. And she said, thank you for sending me your newsletter. I take it to work and share it with the young gal who enjoys it as much as I do. Now, this newsletter that she's talking about is called The New Song, The New Song. And it's a little Bible study that we have every month. And this month, the month of June, our Bible study is 8 ways overcoming discouragement. 8 ways to overcome discouragement. And it's free and it's postpaid. We really ought to charge you because it's worth so much. And yet we just such good-hearted people, we just send it free and postpaid until we go broke, and then we probably won't send it anymore. But if you'd like it, you get your pencil and paper ready. We'll give you the address in just a minute. Here's Pierce, South Dakota. And this person writes, "My husband likes, in fact, he loves your service. He says it's real and not fancy." Well, he sure got that right, because we're just everyday people, nothing fancy about us. And we're just poor old lost sinners saved by grace and happy in the Lord. And so we're just regular people. You know, Abraham Lincoln said that he thought that God liked the common man the most because he made the most of that kind, most common man, more of them than anything else. And so that's what we are. But you see, we're just what we are. And we're loving Jesus. And we're walking together with Jesus. And we're stumbling and we're making our mistakes and our miscues. And we're coming back to Jesus because he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Jesus will do that 1,000 times over because his grace is sufficient for you. And where grace and where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Oh, it's wonderful to know Jesus. And he'll just help us along. And when we get to heaven, and we enter into the heaven's gates, into heaven, we'll not be sinners anymore. We'll be perfect, and we'll be perfect forever. And won't that be a change, and won't that be wonderful? But it's on the way, it's coming, but you have to have Jesus. You say, well, I don't know how to have Jesus. I know about him, I heard about him, I like what I hear about him, but I don't know why. Do you know Jesus? I don't know Jesus, really. Well, you can know him, and I'll tell you what he does. He tells us in Revelation, and he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That's the door of your heart, and that's Jesus. I'm knocking at your heart's door. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, any person, any boy, any girl opens the door, I will come in." I had a junior boy at camp, and his name was Keith. I said, "Keith, have you ever asked Jesus into your heart?" No, and I read that verse to him. And then he asked me a question I've never been asked by anybody else in 73 years in the ministry. Keith said, "What if I ask him to come in and he won't come in?" Well, Jesus says, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens the door, I will come in." Keith has accepted Jesus and he's now with the Lord. He's gone several years ago, that little junior boy. He's in glory. And Jesus came in because he asked him in. That's what you need to do in your own way. Just tell Jesus you're a sinner. Ask him to take away your sin. Promise to forsake sin because Jesus taught repentance. And repentance means turning, turn about. Leave the old ways, walk the new ways with Jesus. And then thank him for saving your soul. Then we'll see you in heaven. And won't we have a time? Let's see, Elkhart, Indiana. "I want to thank you for the service you provide. They move my spirit and encourage me. Thank you. I am 78 years old and often cannot attend the local church." And so God bless you, she says. Well, that's the Holy Spirit that's doing the moving. You know, we're just mortals, just everybody. Like I say, we're just poor old sinners saved by grace. But when we mouth the Word of God, when we give the Word of God, then the Holy Spirit picks it up and he takes it all over the world. And we don't even know where you are. We don't know where you're at. We don't know what your problem is. We don't know a thing about you. But the Holy Spirit knows all about you. He knows every bit because the Holy Spirit is God. He's a third person of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And he is God. He is omnipotent. He has all wisdom. And he knows everything the Father knows and the Son knows. And he knows your heart. He knows the number of hair you have on your head. They're numbered, not counted, numbered. And if you lose one hair, you lose a number. You just can't imagine it, can you? And you know what else God does? He names the stars. And they can't even count the stars. They don't even know how many stars there are. God gives every one of them a name. And so he knows all about us. And so we take his word and we preach his word and we sing his word. And then the Holy Spirit takes it and there it is. Isn't that perfect? It's beautiful. When we get to heaven, we'll all talk about it and visit about it, how our experience was. Des Moines, Iowa. Listen to here. I'm jealous of this person. I'm a 96-year-old, cannot go out to church. 96, she got me beat a year. Disgusting. And so here she says, I don't hear very well, but this is what she says, but I can turn up the TV set so I can spend my Sundays listening to the Lord's messages. And that reminds me of a man wrote one time, and he says, I live in an apartment house, a lot of apartments here in this building. And he says, I turn my way loud, and then I open my door and leave my door open. So he's sending the gospel to that whole house. I don't know if he still lives there, but that's what he was doing when he wrote. Haven't heard from him since, so I don't know where he's at. Maybe he had it too loud. I don't know. Michigan City, Indiana. You can always be counted on to glory. You can always be counted on to glorify the Lord, share the gospel, preach the word, and build up the body of Christ. Keep up the good work gratefully in Christ. And here's that's exactly it. See, so we can build up, so we can grow. We all need to grow in the Lord spiritually. And so we need to go to church. And if you can't go to church, you have to get to TV. And there are other TV services that are good. And so do that. Read your Bible, pray, get with friends, talk about Jesus, read about Jesus, think about Jesus, and you just grow stronger every day. And the stronger you get, the more you can do for the Lord. One more letter, Gainesville, Virginia. I'm sending you a small token of thanks for your program on behalf of my mother. Oh my, look at here. She is 98 years old. Where was the end of this? I can never catch them. She is 98 years old and in the final season of her life. She was born and grew up in Nebraska and longs for her childhood home. Watching you is comforting. I enjoy your simple, thoughtful sermons. May God continue to bless you. And so, you know, we're able to help and minister to this dear lady. And she's thinking about her roots, where she was with a child. We all think about our childhood home. I think about mine. And now she's in the end of her life. She's coming to the end of the season, just like I am. And we're going to go on pretty soon. And so what we need is just the simple word of God. And so this was made possible because you prayed and because you gave. We have to pay our way just like anybody else. And so we need your help. And if you want to help us, if God's laid it on your heart, I'm going to give you the name and the address now. It's the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or if you want to get us on the website, we have a beautiful new website. And you can learn everything about the Christian Worship Hour. You just get ChristianWorshipHour.com. And then you'll see all the singers, and you'll see all our people that are behind the scenes running, they're doing the technology. You'll see our office staff. Oh, it's just a wonderful thing. And you just get ChristianWorshipHour.com, and then you can see all about us. And then you can send us a gift, because we have to pay our way like anybody else. And so you can just help us that way. And you know, if you want to, you can send it over the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com, and then it says donate, and just hit that donate. It'll say PayPal or something like that, and you can send us from all over the world, any part of the world, and we'll get it in an American currency, and we'll pay our bills. But we're not underwritten by any organization or corporation. Nobody stands behind us except God's people. You're the ones we depend on. And so if, you know, when you don't feel we're of any more value and we don't get any income, we have to just sign off. We don't want to do that, but it's all, we just give it to the Lord If he wants us on, he'll move among God's people. We'll have enough and have enough to spare. And if you worry about how we spend the money, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And they audit our books. And do they audit our books to drive you crazy? And they check every penny we get. And worse than that, they check every penny we spend. And so we have to give an account. And we pass the test, and we're just happy to do that. And we're glad to have the audit, because we could then the whole world can know that we're on the level and we're spending the money just the way God intended it for us to do. So now Jan's going to play on the piano, and I'm going to pray, and then you give like God lays on your heart. And dear Heavenly Father, thank you for those who support us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We're going to look at the scripture now, or Isaiah chapter 6. And this is a vision that Isaiah had. And we're thinking that we're going to look at that and how that we can have a vision and should have a vision, must have a vision. And you say, well, I don't know about visions. So we're going to preach about that. And hope that you can all just be praying for us and watching. And in our prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Vietnam. And you know, we just had a call this last week from a man that had served in Vietnam, and the hard times that they have there, and many of them being put to death, many of them dying. And so we pray for our brothers and sisters in Vietnam. But Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, and it begins by saying, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims under me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Isaiah. We thank you that he recorded this vision he had of the King, and how that the throne is empty and he's gone, the only king that he knew, and he's gone, and that there is another king standing over above that. the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he never changes, and he'll always be there. And Heavenly Father, help us to have a vision. Help us to see this wonderful God and how wonderful you are. And help us, like Isaiah, to say, here am I, send me. And when we have a vision of you, dear Lord, that's exactly what we'll do. We'll give ourselves to you. Today we want to pray for our brothers and sisters in Vietnam and the persecuted church. Some of those dear people, Lord, have given their life and have to die because of their service for you, because of their witness for you. They're gone. And so we just thank you that we know they're in heaven, safe in heaven. But we pray for those who are left behind, that you'll just bless and help and encourage them. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hank is going to sing for us. He has a medley, Pass Me Not and I Need Thee. And God bless you, Hank. Thank you, Hank, and God bless you. And while Hank was singing, I was thinking about that blind man. And Jesus is passing by. And this blind man knows, he knows Jesus can heal him. And he knows that Jesus may pass by and he may never see him again. He may have one chance. And he says, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Come and help me, heal me. And you know, I was thinking, how many are there? And you don't know Jesus. You've really never been born again. You never ask him into your heart. And right now, while Hank was singing, you're thinking, I don't want Jesus to pass me by. I need thee every hour, dear Jesus. I need you. I know I need you. And I'm a failure and I've got sins in my life. Pass me not. And you're calling on Jesus. And you say, I want to call on him, but I don't know how. And it is so simple that a child can do it. I called on him when I was 10 years old. That's 86 years ago. 10 years old. And I just, what you have to do is say, dear Jesus, pass me not. You're passing by. You're calling me now. You're right here by me. But I may not be this close to you ever again. And dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. I've sinned against you terribly. Now I've done things I know were wrong. I knew it when I did it. And I don't know why I did it, but I yielded to temptation. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And Jesus will do for you what he did to that blind man begging him to come. He took away his scales from his eyes and he could see. And Jesus will come and he'll take away all of your sins and he'll make you white and clean and he'll take away your scales so you can see the things of God and read the Bible and get much more out of it. Now's your chance. Do it now. You know, we're looking at this story of Isaiah, and he talks about this vision he has. He says that the year that King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and he dates the time this all took place. He says it was at the time of the vision was in the year that King Uzziah died. Uzziah was a marvelous king. And he ruled over Judah for 52 years. And he began reigning when he was 16 years old. And he reigned for 52 years. And he was a good king. He was remarkable in so many ways. And God helped him so he had great prosperity. And Uzziah had a wonderful reign until he reached a certain point. And when after these successes came to his head, and he thought that he was the reason for all of these things, and he didn't realize that and didn't give God the credit, and he got the big head, and he became proud of his accomplishments, and in his pride, he forgot about God and thought only about himself. And so he'd been victorious over many perils. Now he'd fallen to the peril of prosperity. And so many today, like Uzziah, started great with God and became proud, and they rebelled against God, and they went their own way and did their own thing. That's what Isaiah did, and God dealt with him. He was smitten with leprosy, and he lived the rest of his life in a home for the lepers. Now Uzziah had died, and Isaiah had known no other king. He'd only known Uzziah all of his life. Now the king was dead and the throne was empty. And Isaiah must have been sick to the stomach. He must have just been heartache. I remember when President Kennedy was shot. I can tell you the exact place on this earth that I was. And I was sick to the stomach. It was unbelievable. And so in the year that King Uzziah died, the news would spread all like a wildfire all over the land from village to village and town to town and street to street and everywhere. And Judah was fall and there was chaos everywhere because Judah was fast falling in the way of Israel and the way they had taken. And the one throne to which Isaiah had looked for and supported and trusted and believed in and relied upon. Now the king was dead and the throne was empty. It is the men said in this, it is like the men in the psalmist. And they said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And no doubt the prophet felt and wondered, who's going to succeed? Who's going to be on the throne? Is he going to be a good king? Is he going to be a wonderful king? And maybe he was thinking of all of this. Maybe he had just come from the funeral of Uzziah. And he said, and they killed the king that Uzziah died. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. It's beautiful. He sees the soul throne of Uzziah. It's vacant, but over and above the throne of Uzziah is God Almighty sitting on the throne. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that beautiful? And so this man, high and lifted up, this king, this Lord. And Isaiah, of course, didn't look upon God directly because we're told that no man has seen God at any time. For one thing, God is so high above us and so glorious, our mortal eyes cannot even look upon him. For another reason, God is a spirit and we are in the flesh. And the spirit, we don't see. We don't have spiritual eyes to see. We don't see the spirits and the spirit of God. But just because you can't see the spirit doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It is there, and the spirit is with us. For instance, do you know that right here in this studio, there's ball games being played, and there's politicians talking, and there's weather reports giving? And you can't see it, but if you set up a TV, if you set up a radio, you could pull it in and you could see that right here going through this very room. And so just because you can't see that spirit does not mean that it doesn't exist, not for a second. And so with the naked eye, we can't see all of the pictures and all the things that are happening. But if we listen, even though the eye cannot see the Spirit of God, the heart can hear him speaking and feel him speaking and understanding. And what Isaiah saw was God's throne and in his train, that is, the skirts of his garments. And I just want to pause for a minute, because when that moment, that night, I was accepted Jesus, the pastor was speaking, the evangelist was talking about the train filled the temple, and he didn't explain what it was. And I didn't know. I thought all the train I knew was on a track, and it didn't make sense. But what the train is, it's the skirts of his garment. And Isaiah saw that God's throne was in heaven and that his train filled all the earth. His throne is in heaven and his footstool is the earth. And Isaiah says when he saw the vision, he was awestruck. He was amazed. He was filled with wonder, and he cries out, woe is me. And it was a day he never forgot to his dying day. He remembered a special encounter he had with God, an encounter that changed his life. And with that in mind then, let's look at six things about that vision that Isaiah had, about how or that day that Uzziah died. First of all, I want to tell you this. We can all have a vision of God if we want it. We're not going to have it precisely the same way that Isaiah did. And if you said that you had a vision like that, I wouldn't believe you. But there are different ways that God can appeal to us and speak to us and show us. And like, for instance, he comes into our own world. To the shepherds, he came out to the pasture. To the wise men, he went to the stars to speak to them. To the tax collector, he went to the receipt of custom. And wherever you are, he'll come into your world, into your place of residence, and you can have a vision of this wonderful God. You see, we have that vision just as we study the Bible, as we study the Word. God will reveal himself. You get a vision of God revealing himself. As we worship in the house, go into the worship, the house of God. Try to go to church if you can. If you can't, then work, use your television, use your radio, gather with friends. But where two or three are gathered together, God is in the midst of them. You can get a vision of God that way. And so is shut-ins, and those who are unable to get around. You can not assemble of yourselves together because you can't get around. But as you study the Word of God and read the Word of God and pray and talk about God, there's a vision that'll come to your heart and you'll see and you'll understand. As we pray, we see have a vision of God. Remember this? Jesus was transfigured when he prayed. And that same thing can happen to us. We can see God in a wonderful way, speaking to our hearts as we have our prayers, as we meditate upon the Word and think about the Word of God. Here's Peter. He had his vision of the sheet lowered from heaven. He was having meditations and devotions, thinking on the things of God, and God revealed it to him in a special way. As we serve God by helping others, doing deeds of kindness, God comes to us and helps us, and we may be ministering to angels unawares. As we walk with the Lord daily, and just day by day and hour by hour, we think upon his name, and he comes more and more beautiful to us. And we just see the vision of God through our heart and our soul. We just know, we can tell that he's there. I'm not big on emotions, because sometimes we have emotions and sometimes we don't. But you just know that he is there as you walk with him. The kind of a vision needed of God is that vision which reveals God to us exactly as he is. Not as some old grandfather in heaven giving us every whim and fancy. Not a lopsided God where he's only love and no judgment and no wrath. He's also stern, and he's just, and he's holy, and he hates sin. And if you die in your sins, you cannot go to be with God, cannot go to be with Jesus. So he reveals those things to us as we think upon his name and search to follow him. And this wonderful God then will show us that he is a God that hates sin. He will show us that he's a God that we can't make up for ourselves, but we have to take him as he is. And we can see this wonderful God as he is, and he reveals himself if we want it. If we want to see God, he'll reveal himself to our heart and our soul. And then when we do that, we must all have a vision of God, because it's necessary for salvation. Unless we see God in all of his holiness, unless we see God in his hatred of sin, we will never see our need for cleansing of our sins. But when we see how God hates sin and how repulsive it is to him, when we see that, we can see, oh, in my sins, I've got a vision. I can see that I'm never going to be with God in this condition. And he'll lay it on my heart. He did when I was 10 years old. I don't know how it all happened, but it happened, believe me. It's necessary for our sanctification. That is our separation, our separated life. And if when we see how holy God is, how great he is, why, then that vision of that holy God makes us want to be like him. And don't pattern your life after men. Don't pick out a person and look and make him your model. Make Jesus Christ your model. And when we draw close to God and get a real vision of him and of Jesus Christ, he'll show us that we have real needs, and we'll separate ourselves from those sins and walk with him. And when that vision comes, we'll always see ourselves as unclean in our first encounter with God. That's what Isaiah cried when he saw God, had that vision. He said, "Woe is me, for I am unclean. I'm a man of unclean lips." And that always appears when a man sees God for the first time. He sees his sin. He sees his own unworthiness. That's the way Peter felt when he got the draught of fishes and he saw Christ. And he said, "Depart from me," he said. "I'm a sinful man." That's what Isaiah was saying. God, oh my God, I'm a sinner. When I see a vision of God and his holiness. Isaiah was a great man, really. He was a clean man. He was a good man. And there's a danger in that, because some people are good moral people and upright people, and they don't see their need for God. They don't see that they're a lost sinner, no matter how good and clean they are. And Isaiah was a good, clean man, a good, clean prophet. But when he saw Jesus Christ and God in his glory, he says, "Woe is me, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." When the prophet had a clear vision of God, he had the true vision of man. And he saw what he really was, 1,000 miles away in his sin. A man of unclean lips. Why does he say unclean lips? He said, why does he say unclean heart, unclean spirit, unclean life? He says unclean spirit, unclean lips. Well, look at this. This is the answer. James 3, verse 6. The tongue is a fire. The world of iniquity among our members is the tongue, which defileth the whole body, setteth on fire the wheel of nature, set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and birds, of creeping things and things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It's a restless evil. It's full of deadly poison. So the speech of man is an expression of the man. And the lips and the tongue are the instruments that tell us what we have inside. And inside we're polluted and we're filled with sin. And that's what Jesus said, didn't he? He says, Jesus says, the things which proceed out of the mouth come from out of the heart. They defile the man. And then so Isaiah says, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And because his whole heart and his whole being is his uttering as what he speaks and what he's saying, and he sees his real condition. We're all unclean in one way or another. There is none righteous, God says. No, not one. God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes every last one of us. Daniel, the only man in the Old Testament. Daniel, there is no recorded sin about Daniel. But Daniel was a poor lost sinner and in his sins. And when he says in Daniel 10, he says when he had a vision, he heard the words of the angel and God is talking to him. Daniel said, he became as drunk with no strength and no breath left in him. Daniel chapter 10, verses 15 and 17. So the encounter with God is absolutely essential. We have such a high idea of feeling of ourselves. We have to see ourselves as poor, lost sinners headed for hell, filled with sin, and we turn to God. And then this vision also tells us that cleansing comes from God alone. The angel of God came from the altar and touched Isaiah's lips with a coal of fire, and he was cleansed. When we cry out to God in our sinfulness and in our vileness, he comes to us in the form of his Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and we say, "Oh my God, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. I'm an evil man, oh God." And Jesus comes, and he cleanses us with his blood, and he washes away all of our sins. And though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they're going to be just like wool. And I've seen those sheep that are shorn, and the outward of that wool is just dark and gray and matted. But when that take that shears and take that wool off, it's glistening white and beautiful against it as it comes from that body of that sheep. And our sin's going to be just like wool, just like the snow. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. And so help doesn't come from man. Help comes from God. Isaiah's help came from the angel. And God tells us that we have to have him. And that wonderful blood that Jesus applies. Peter tells us we are not redeemed of the corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to ask you right now, have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? If there is no other way. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Salvation is through a person. It isn't through the church. And I love the church. It gave my whole life to the church. And the church is an institution by God. But the church itself can't save you. It's only Jesus Christ, a person. A ritual can't save you. Works can't save you. Money can't save you. It's the person. I am the way, the truth, and the why. Jesus says, I am the door. That sheepfold has only one door, Jesus. And through him we come and go and have our being. I am the way, the only way. And after the cleansing comes the service. Listen to this. Then flew one of the seraphim under me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth with it, and he said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away. Thy sin is purged. There is confession of sin, and then there is cleansing, and it comes by God and by God alone. God asks Isaiah, who is then, God talks to him, and Isaiah is cleansed, and God asks the question, who will go for us? And this always happens. It doesn't matter what sort of vision of God you have. It doesn't matter how it comes or how it goes. It doesn't make a bit of difference. But when he says, who will go for me? If you really have been born again, if you really open your heart to the Lord, you say, I'll serve you, Lord. See, I'll serve you. I'll forsake my evil ways and I'll walk for you. Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, Lord, he says, I will go. Here am I, send me. So there's a sequence there. First, we're cleansed, we're saved, we're born again, we're white as snow. And second, we're in his servant, we're obedient. And we do walk with the Lord and serve the Lord. We must volunteer for God's service. And that's what he's saying today. He's saying, first of all, he wants to come into your heart. And then he wants you to volunteer and say, here am I, Lord, send me. And you, if you could pray, just ask Jesus right now while I'm talking about it. Just say to Jesus, to come into my heart, please. Take away my sins. I've sinned against you, and I'll follow you the best I can. And then thank him. Now, if you've prayed that prayer, you write to us, and we'll send you literature. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you will write to you and we'll send you literature. We'd like to do that anywhere in the world. And then if you can help us with the work, just ask God. And we have to have your help. If you don't have your help, we can't carry on. And you write to us. And those of you on the short wave, it's Christian Worship Hour, box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And while you're sending that gift in, you can be sure that it's being used exactly what we say it's being used for, 100%, because we're an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, audits our books, what we get and how we spend it. And they're just to check every move we make. So we hope that you'll pray for us. We hope you'll support us. And we're going to pray now. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for helping us in this service. We thank you for being in this service. We thank you for the multitudes of people that called upon your name. Now we pray, Lord, that you bless those on beds of sickness. We pray for the shut-ins. We pray for the young people. Our hearts go out to the young people. Lord, they're being bombarded with all kinds of pornography and all this drugs and all of this terrible things. And the devil is assaulting them like never before. Help them, dear Jesus, like Isaiah, to call on your name and to turn to you. And you'll dwell within them and you'll help them. Hell, Lord, in everything we do, may it honor Jesus, our wonderful Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So now, until next week, we're asking you to be thinking about us. Pray for us. We pray for you. And we're going to be thinking about this wonderful Savior and walking with him and talking with him. We'll have some new letters to read next week. And we'll have another message that we want to preach about. It's just going to bless your heart. But you need to pray for us. and you need to support us. And you can call your friends too. We have people to make lists. We have one man and he has a list. And just as we start our service, or just before we start our service, he calls. I think he said he had 6 on his list. He has their telephone numbers and everything. He calls them and says, Christian Worship Hour is going to be on station such and such in a few minutes. Be sure to tune them in. And maybe some of those people will come to Jesus. So God bless you. God loves you. We love you. And Lord willing, see you next week.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.